Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 503. You have your favorite football talkers and FDH Lounge dignitaries with you here today. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking it down for you for NFL Week 15. My picks went 9-7 on all the games, 2-1 on the big three, 0-1 on my lock, bringing me for the year to 115, 106, and 3 on all the games, of course, 25-19-1 on my big three, 6-9 on my locks. Interestingly enough, I have to get 20 wins in the final 32 games of the season, an average of 10-6, if you will, if I'm going to be profitable. I have a chance to be above 52.4% on all of my games for the year. Darn near unprecedented, I would say, but a chance certainly for me. But that's what I need to get her done the next 2 weeks. You, Kyle, an excellent week. 3-2, once again in the money here, 43-29 on the season, better than 60%. It's all good.
Yeah, we're doing great. And, you know, I would just like to take a quick moment because we've got a lot of games to talk about this week. I'd just like to take a moment here to give a quick shout out to our two favorite listeners, John Cena and Roman Reigns. They say hi.
John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. I got that going to TLC Sunday night. I know not where you
were. I'm glad that you're to the point now where, you know, yelling at children makes you happy. I mean, you ought to be. But then again, you are a Republican, so you've been doing that since day one, yelling at them to get off your lawn.
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, there you go. What else should I expect?
I thought screaming at them, there is no Santa Claus, was proportional for the amount of annoyance that their Let's Go Cena chants were inflicting upon me.
Yeah, I had a great time talking to the 7-year-old in front of me. Knew a lot more than the people on the internet, I'll say that much.
Well, you know what? I had a great time because I was there with two of my three friends I was there with were lapsed fans that hadn't really watched since like the late 80s. So it was fun watching it through the eyes of people too jaded to know what a crappy product a lot of the stuff is right now.
Yeah. By the way, in case if you're completely clueless, we're talking about the WWE pay-per-view that was in Cleveland that Sunday, in case if you have thought that we've lost our minds. So, yeah.
TLC.
I feel I'm going to troll you with a lot of my picks this week, too.
I am.
Going to try to make it, I don't know how many winning weeks in a row it'll be, but it's been quite a few. I know that I think it'd be at least 5 in a row winning weeks here, maybe 6 even, if we can get this done. I don't know how many I'm going to recommend this week. I'm going to kind of go with the flow. I've circled a few, but I'm unsure on some others. I'm going to kind of listen to what you say and, you know, make my recommendations and sum them off that, I think.
All right. Well, you've been killing it, of course, so we'll get into this. Some of these don't bear much discussion time, and I'll tell you what, it's an absolute abortion worse than John Cena's continuing push if we spend too much time on the Thursday game, I'll tell you that. The 2-12 Titans at the 2-12 Jaguars, 8:25 Eastern Time, Everbank Field in Jacksonville on the NFL Network. Jim Nance, Phil Simms, Tracy Wolf's on the call. I'd rather be watching the Test Pattern channel, frankly, than tuning into this one here. Although I don't have the NFL Network anyway, so it's not like it would be inflicted upon me. Jags are laying 3 in this one. Maybe the two worst teams in the league, two of the very worst anyways. It just comes down to, for me, you have Charlie Whitehurst, who I call the Jesus of bad quarterbacks. People like to make the Jesus jokes about him, but that's what I'll call him, versus Blake Bortles. Give me Blake Bortles. Give me the Jags. I don't think either of these teams is good enough to win on the road right now, even against their fellow crappy compatriot. Give me the Jags laying a 3 at home.
Yeah, this to me is probably favorite or pass, and I'm passing. Tennessee has been scratched off my personal watch list or my personal play-on list for many, many weeks. They have all the makings of a team that has given up, but I'm not in the business of laying points with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I figured we wouldn't talk a lot about this for a Thursday night game. It's going to have a very low handle, and you know, I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I wish I would – I want to look it up, actually, while you're talking about the next game, the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars were favored in a game. I'm going to look that up. while you
probably
were
not this
next
year,
because I'm not playing this one. I'm going to look that up.
Okay. All right. While you're doing that, we go to the Saturday NFL Network games. First of all, it's the 9-5 Eagles at the 3-11 Redskins, 4:30 Eastern time from FedEx Field. Actually, you know what? Let's push this one to later in the show. This is one of my big three recommendations, as it turns out. A little sloppiness on my part not to catch that there. So we go to the nightcap, the 8-6 Chargers at the 7-7 49ers, 8:25 Eastern time from Levi's Stadium. Yes, home of WrestleMania 31 in Santa Clara, California, on the NFL Network. Ian Eagle, Dan's lounge guest, along with Dan Fouts and Jenny Dell on the call. This is one where you have San Francisco weighing 2.5 points to San Diego. In a battle of teams that have been disappointing over the last several weeks or so, the Chargers, it's a tall order to ask them to beat Denver, even at home, but that win last week was pretty deflating. It's going to be tough for them. Late news coming in that apparently a busted collarbone for Keenan Allen. That's going to make it difficult for them. Nevertheless, of the two teams, they're the only one that's got anything to play for. So on a week where I don't like too many dogs, to me, San Diego is a very live dog, and I'll take them and the 2.5 Saturday night.
Is this right? The last time that was a very wonderful intro. I'll get to my pick here in a second. The last time the Jags were favored at home very early in the 2012 season against Cincinnati, they got killed that game. They lost 27-10. That was week 4 of 2012. So it would have been a full 16 games plus. So it's been about 28 games since they've been favored. So there you go.
My goodness, that's multiple defense secretaries for Barack Obama ago.
Yes, and they've all done such a great job. But anyway, I move on. I'll tell you who's not done a good job, and that's San Francisco 49ers. This one is dog or pass for me. I know you brought up the Allen injury. Both these teams, you said it, huge disappointments, major step back. Can't believe that neither of them will be in the playoffs most likely. San Francisco, we know, is out. San Diego, very small chance with two roadies left here and then at Arrowhead next week, what could be a de facto playoff game. But, you said it. San Diego's the one with something to play for. San Francisco, I told you at the beginning of the year, remember what I said about teams breaking in new stadiums, how they tended to suck against the point spread? San Francisco is 1-5 against the number at home so far. I would lean San Diego. I'm not recommending it, though. Non-conference game, home field usually matters a little more because the unfamiliar settings. But the 49ers, we talk about the Titans have the look of a team that's quit. The 49ers kind of do, too.
They very clearly do. There's no question about that. On the Sunday games here, I want to get one out of the way, first of all, that where there's not a line in too many places for this. So I figure this is another one we can kind of gloss over. My 7-7 Brownies with a pathetic showing last week, a very brown showing, if you will, lowercase b. They are at the 5-8-1 Carolina Panthers, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Obama bailed out Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on CBS. It's Tom McCarthy and Adam Archuleta on the call. And the line, such as it is out there, if you can find it anywhere, is 4. I'm just going to say, based clearly on the S show that we saw last week, you talk about teams that have quit and have pretty much given up. As much as everybody wants to put this on Johnny Football, and there was a great article this week by he does. And Greg Cosell broke it down on Shutdown Corner this week, did a great job explaining it. But, Kyle, the whole team right now looks just absolutely pathetic. The defense, I understand that they're suffering some injuries right now, but the defense is looking horrible. The offensive line has not been the same since Mack went down. The Browns have given up. I'll take the Panthers laying the 4 with the pretend line that's out there.
OCD Rick Morris strikes again half the game. Interestingly enough, I would actually take the Browns if there was a line on this game. They cannot possibly be worse than they were last week. And Carolina, it is inexplicable. I'd say it's inexplicable this late run they're on, but not really. They've beaten two division teams. The NFC South, I know the Saints beat the Bears on Monday night, and that kind of goes against what I'm about to say. The NFC South does not win non-division games very often, and I know both of us get in trouble when we take a macro look, but the Browns are one of those teams that I've kind of had penciled in to improve their win total by 4. Mm-hmm. Roughly, when we talk about that, roughly a third of the league will see a shift by 4 plus or minus. The Browns are a team all year I've had penciled in. Well, not all year, not the beginning, but, you know, pretty soon after that I had penciled in for a 4-win improvement, which would have been 8. They've got to get their 8th win here because it's not going to happen next week in Baltimore. Look, I think Johnny Manziel, all these people were pounding their chests, oh, this will be the change. This is a very average team, which is my whole point with Hoyer. It's not – all the teams that have made all these quarterback switches this year are average to below average teams, and the quarterback change doesn't make a big difference as people think. I would take the Browns if the spread was out there just because I don't think Carolina should be favored even at home in a non-division game. I just think Carolina stinks.
I have no regard at all for Carolina, as I've been saying all year, but that shows you what I think of where my Browns are right now. No question about that. All right, moving ahead to the first game Sunday we have that has a line attached to it in most places. It's the 10-4 Packers at the 2-12 Bucks. The Battle of the Bays, as it were, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and Jennifer Hale on the call for Fox. This is one where you have Green Bay laying 11.5 in this one, up from 10.5 at the outset. And, again, after an
I talked about this
all year on the show, these pathetic showings from teams that decide to smoke punts before the game, disrespect the game.
That's
not
a terrible take.
Clearly, the Packers did not take the Bills seriously. Clearly, the Packers decided to
sleepwalk.
That
is a bad take. That's a bad take. The Bills match up very well with Green Bay. The Bills match played, their defense really matched up well with Green Bay. I had the Bills, by the way.
Well, here's the thing that I have, and it's interesting you made a macro indicator on another game. I'm going to go with a macro indicator on this one. Thanks to USA Today Sports Weekly, again, for some of my finer nuggets that I'm able to find. 8 of the 12 losses that Tampa Bay has had have been by 8 or fewer points,
including that
loss to Carolina. They're not going to win this game. So in order to so here's the thing. Are they going to lose another game inside of that? Statistically, they've had more close losses than they've had more than their share, let's just say. And clearly, if you're looking for a situation where a team could come in and blow their doors off, it would be Green Bay. It is statistically unlikely to me that Tampa Bay would have another close, manageable loss. Hence, give me the Packers to drum beat them.
I think you're outthinking yourself completely there.
Okay.
I think what it means is you're going to see a very improved Tampa Bay team next year when they get a real quarterback. The games that I recommend, I have a lot shorter analysis than the ones I don't. And anytime I see a home team plus 11.5 next to it, give me the home team. That's simple. Green Bay's got a huge look ahead for the division next week against Detroit. Give me the points to Tampa Bay, first recommendation of the week. They've only been blown out 3 times this year. They're the only team that has yet to win a home game. They're not going to win this one, but they'll keep it close. Green Bay, not the same team on the road. I've bet against them the last 2 times on the road. They failed to cover both times.
Anytime it happens. Well, at least you're not using a one-size-fits-all mentality on the 11.5. So.
Yeah.
All right. Tampa Bay is your first selection. Up next, too, another good team, a very bad team. It's the 10-4 Lions at the 5-9 Bears. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Soldier Field, Chicago on Fox. The A team for Fox of Buck Aikman and Andrews is on the call. And this is one where Detroit is laying. Yeah, I can't believe it either. Why would they put him on this game? They're laying, the Lions are laying 7.5 on the road, up from 4.5. And believe me, I understand the power of the hook. I think I covered 3 of my wins last week by 0.5 point. So I'm not going to sit here and diminish this going over a touchdown at this point in time. But I have the theory at this point in the season, because there are some fairly big lines this week, right? Vegas is looking for equilibrium, where they can get equal action on both sides. Here's the thing, too. This is a league where we do see a number of, say, 42-17 games or worse. Vegas can never get enough points for a bad team when they're really going to get stomped. I think there's a number of games this week where Vegas has pushed the line way up, and it still won't be enough. I think this was one of them. I'm going to cling to that theory.
Wow.
7.5 at Soldier Field.
Wow. We're going to disagree on everything, that if that's your mentality. I mean, we're going to disagree on every single game.
You're looking for value, and I don't think it is. I don't think there's value on the really bad teams at this point, Kyle. That's just my opinion.
That's not a bad take. And again, unfortunately, my kind of value teams has led me to all bad teams, but I think I've been okay. I mean, you know, San Francisco last week was a bad team. This reminds me kind of a vacuum, the San Francisco-Seattle division rivalry. The line is significantly higher than it would have been, had the world not watched the Bears crap the bet again. Eventually, they've got to cover at home, don't they? It's crossed a key number of 7 again. I talked about this with Green Bay. Major look ahead for the Lions here. Even if they were to lose this game, which I don't think they will, but even if they were to lose this game, they still have a chance to win the division next week because they, if they beat Green Bay, which I don't think they're going to do because they would have swept them. Recommendation number 2 of the week, Bears.
Very interesting. Okay. That takes a lot of balls, frankly, to take them after they absolutely quit Monday night and after all the things have been coming out of Chicago with the very poisonous atmosphere there. So kudos to you for selecting on that one.
Sounds like the perfect time to take them to me.
Well, I will admit, you got a lot of ugly teams among your 43 winners to this point this year. So the scoreboard says that you have a decent chance here based on your track record because there's a lot of ugly ones among those 43 and the 43 and 29. Up next here, it is the, believe it or not, NFC South Championship game in all likelihood. The 5-9 Falcons at the 6-8 Saints. Kind of says it all. 1 o'clock Eastern time from Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call for this one. New Orleans is laying 7 up from 6.5 at the open. This is one where I really kind of went back and forth. This was one of my more difficult ones to pick this
yes.
week. But looking at this, what I come back to again is the notion of, okay, Atlanta is supposed to get back Julio Jones to come in and do some stuff. I got to believe Julio Jones, they would need him at relatively close to full strength, I think, to have a chance to keep this one close. Saints finally, and I know I've been guilty of the false alarm on this previously, but finally look like they got it going on. You know they're going to win the game because they're not going to take yet another dump in a row at home. So I keep going back to, okay, the Falcons going to stay within the 7 without Julio Jones because that's the best they – their ceiling to me is staying within the 7. Don't think they will. I'll take the Saints.
Wow. This is finally that week we've been looking for all year. To me, this is dog or pass. I have no – interest in backing New Orleans, a team that I do
okay.
not trust. I come back to the macro thing. The Falcons are the only team that finished in last, and it was a tie for last, that can go worse to first this year. They're the only team left to keep that trend alive. And that's kind of all that I'm holding on to here. There's a chance that, you know, obviously you don't think it's going to happen, but I think the Browns could beat the Panthers. If the Saints win here and the Browns beat the Panthers, believe it or not, the Saints clinch the NFC South. I really want to go on Atlanta, but they have burned me a lot this year. It seems that Mike Smith is doing his damnedest to get fired. And short of winning a playoff game, he's going to get fired, I think, right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm going to lay off. I'm going to chicken out here. But let the record state I really wanted to recommend Atlanta to stay alive.
All right. We will,
I come back to what you said. I mean, for what I was saying to come true, Atlanta would have to win the game to stay in the division race.
Yep.
Is New Orleans really going to lose a 5th game in a row at home?
Not the Falcons, though.
Yeah. I mean, well, they played well without Julio Jones last week, by the way. That was one that I lost. They moved the ball. They settled for field goals. Mike Smith has become really gutless, to be honest with you. You know what? Screw it. He deserves to be fired.
Field goals ain't going to get it done against New Orleans. No question about it in this situation here. Up next, it's another AFC East showdown here. It's the 11-3 Patriots at the 3-11 Jets. Probably the final one, the matchup between Belichick and Rex Ryan. And it's going to end on a very anticlimactic note, I'm afraid, if that is the case. 1 o'clock Eastern time. MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey on CBS. Here, Odita Solomon Wilcox and Otis Livingston on the call for this one. And I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. New England is laying 11.5 up from 10 at the outset. This is one where it's a possible letdown spot for the Patriots coming off that big win last week against Miami, where they pretty much popped their balloon once and for all. I keep looking at this here. It's funny, as I was looking at the Jets game-by-game record during the year, because it backed up what I was thinking anecdotally. Good friend of ours, the show here, fellow member of the 21st Century Media Alliance, Russ Cohen from Sportsology, every Sunday on Facebook, he's a Jets fan. I keep seeing the whole thing, like, you know, where he gets, like, very depressed during the game, of, like, he gets his hopes up and then whatever. I'm looking at their game-by-game thing here. For a 3-11 team, they've really only gotten blown out a few times during the year. They've looked ugly. They've had a lot of ugly losses that have not been blowouts, which is strange for a 3-11 team. Under the circumstances, in a little bit of a letdown spot for the Patriots, I think they can keep it close enough. This looks like a classic penis punch opportunity. Come in the back door and lose it by 10. So I'm going to take the Jets and the 11.5 here.
I think you know where I'm going here, don't you?
Yeah, I think
Jets.
So.
Yeah, Jets, same reason as Tampa, recommendation. I actually like the Jets a little more than Tampa Bay, too. This is Rex Ryan's final home game. The party's over here, but I think the players are going to try for him. And it's funny you talk about the Jets' record this year, how they've kind of lost close a lot. Funny how that happened. Remember last year, they won all those they won so many close games to get the 8-8. And I said, look for the bottom to fall out this year. It has fallen out further than I thought it might be, because they're going to end with two wins. They won last week, so they'll end with three wins. Pardon me, I said four before the year. I think the Jets keep this one close. New England, it was kind of a misleading final last week against Miami. They blitzed them in the third quarter, but they had like two big returns from the special teams. I think one was off a blocked field goal, and the other may have been an interception. Kind of a misleading final. There were several misleading finals last week, I thought. So you said it. Letdown, Jets, third recommendation of the week.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I agree with you on that. Up next here, a rare battle this week. We only have a handful of them, it seems. Battle of teams with winning records, the 8-6 Chiefs at the 9-5 Steelers. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Heinz Field, Pittsburgh on CBS, Brett Gumbletrent Green and Evan Washburn on the call. Pittsburgh is laying 3 in this one, down from 3.5 initially, so it shows you that the odds makers didn't really know what to do with this one. You just sort of got the home field number separating the two teams here. And
that's right, I think.
There was
I think that's the right line. This is a classic three-point game in my three-point line.
There's a snippet I got earlier this week. I can't remember where. I'm going to credit CBSSports.com, an insight that I had read there. I'm pretty sure it was there that I agree with. It kind of stuck in my head that the Steelers haven't faced a number of defenses this year as good as the Chiefs' defense. The Steelers, again, and we know, NFC South, we know they've been feasting on the out-of-division schedule here, but they have faced very few defenses as good as the Chiefs this week, and when they have, those have been kind of their downer-type games. So because of that, I'm going to maybe surprise a few people here and take Kansas City on the road. I think they're a live dog, may not even need the three.
You know what? Because you said that, this is one that I had an asterisk by coming into the show.
Okay.
I'm going to go Kansas City, too, as a recommendation. I have them rated slightly above. I knew the line would be 3. I think it actually opened. I think there were some 3.5s early. I'm kind of upset that I missed out on those, obviously. But Pittsburgh is a weird team, man.
Yep.
They're actually the one AFC North team that has not really feasted on the NFC South. Remember, they lost to Tampa.
Right.
Lost at home to New Orleans. They also lost, there was a home loss to Tampa. They lost to the Jets, yet barring a major collapse, they're going to make the playoffs. They have 2 in a row at home. They're not going to lose them both. So we'll get to 10 wins, and I think they're going to be in the playoffs like I thought they'd be at the beginning of the year. But Kansas City, they've got to win out to make the playoffs, in my opinion. They can't. They already have 6 losses, so I don't think you can afford a 7th, because Cincinnati is going to finish 9-6-1, remember. Spoiler alert. So they can't afford to drop a 7th game. I'm going to recommend Kansas City this week, plus the point.
Okay. I'm with you on that. You and I with the same instinct there. Up next, it's the 9-5 Ravens at the 7-7 Texans, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, NRG Stadium in Houston on CBS. Andrew Cattle on, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline on the call. And the Ravens are laying 5 up from 3.5 initially. And kind of a tough one to pick here in the sense of both teams having very good run offenses. It's going to be very critical to both of the teams to get that established. But with Tom Savage in there now at quarterback for Houston, this is one where had they not had that, your boy Ryan Fitzhipster, had he not gone down, it would have been my instinct probably, and certainly if it had been Ryan Mallett as well as he played before he went down, it would have been my instinct to take the points here. But, again, another nugget that I will credit CBS Sports Weekly for flagging to my attention, that the Texans are 26th against the pass. They've allowed 25 touchdown passes. I think it's going to be a very good week for Joe Flacco. This is a game where I don't think Houston's going to be able to keep up. I will take Baltimore in what is, again, close to a must-win situation for them.
Baltimore's a really good team. Other than that one loss they had, I believe it was a Sunday night to the Steelers, they've been in every game all year. I think they win out. I think they're the best team in the division. Could they upset New England or Denver come playoff time on the road? I don't know about that. Normally, I would go with a home dog when you see this kind of line movement. But, you know, you talk about Tom Savage. He was so bad. I'm hearing that it may be Case Keenum even here. I cannot make a case. I cannot make a case for Keenum. So I'm going to pass here. I would never want to lay points after a move like that. But even though it's kind of across some dead numbers, I just think Houston, they're done. Their season basically ended last week with a tough loss to Indianapolis. They're not in, and Baltimore's got greener pastures ahead. So they'll probably take care of business, but I'd be leery about laying the points.
All right, no road favorite Kyle here, not surprisingly. Up next, laying 5.5, it's the Buffalo Bills at the Oakland Raiders, 8-6 Bills, 2-12 Raiders. 4:25 Eastern Time from Ocho Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. And Brian Anderson and Chris Sims are on the call here. And this is a very interesting one. I referred before to how the Packers pretty much came out and just flat-out tanked the game. Let's call it what it is. Against Buffalo.
Disagree. They were outplayed by a pretty decent team.
As I look at this here, a potential letdown spot for Buffalo. I know that, again, if they want to keep their slim playoff hopes alive, they got to win them both. But realistically, they're not beating New England regardless next week. And I think they know that. This is a classic sandwich game here coming in between the big Green Bay win and New England the next week. There's an interesting pattern that I've noticed with Oakland in recent weeks. This goes back almost half the season of like good effort, bad effort, good effort, bad effort. They're due for another pretty good one. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but they've shown in the last month they haven't quit with Tony Sperano in there. That's more than you can say for a lot of the bad teams in the league. I like Oakland to sneak inside of the 5.5.
Surprisingly, I will abstain from this one.
All right.
I like your point about it being a letdown for the Bills. I just don't think it's enough points. Now, I know that I'm going against better teams in some of those earlier games, like the Packers and the Patriots, but at least I'm getting two scores in those games. If Oakland hasn't quit yet, I wonder why they have. I wonder why. They should quit to get that number one pick and then really get a haul of it, with a trade, hopefully some team that's desperate to land Mariota, because that's basically the best chance this broken franchise has of fixing itself. The Bills are going to win this game, get to 9-6. Remember, I said the Bills were a sleeper this year, but I do agree with you. Ultimately, the dream will die next week at New England. And I feel bad because they don't have a first-round pick anymore, and they don't have a long-term solution at quarterback. So I hope that was fun, Buffalo. By the way, can't set enough. It was not a case of the Packers phoning it in, though. The Buffalo Bills, I watched a great deal of that game. Their defense. The Buffalo Bills defense, by the way, people in Cleveland don't want to hear this stuff. That defense has gotten better after losing Mike Pettine. And I will give credit where credit's due to one of a guy who I've made fun of for years on this program, Jim Schwartz, has done a great job with that group. The Bills defense just absolutely, at least up front, really just knocked around the Green Bay offensive line, made life miserable for Aaron Rodgers. I know Jordy Nelson had that bad drop the Bills just played better than Green Bay last week.
Exactly. Jim Schwartz, an excellent defensive mind and a very class act who deserved certainly to be carried off the field in Detroit earlier this season.
Give
I think
me
we all
a break.
Agree on that.
Give me a break.
Up next, this is basically the alpha game of the weekend here as far as teams and their records. It's the 10-4 Colts at the 10-4 Cowboys, 4:25 Eastern Time, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas on CBS. Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, and Tracy Wolfson on the call for CBS. Dallas is laying 2.5 in this game, down from 3. So we're inside of the 3-point home number.
That's a big
in terms
move.
Of looking at this. The injured hand, the surgery on the broken bone for DeMarco Murray is going to loom, I think, very, very large in this game here. And, again, I'll credit USA Today Sports Weekly for flagging this number to my attention, that the Cowboys have converted 51.1% of their third downs in their victories, but 38.6% in their four losses. The Colts lead the league in third down defense at 33.1%. What chance do the Cowboys have of converting a lot of third downs without DeMarco Murray? Now, they may play him because the thing that's kind of amusing to me is that this is a repeat of the CeCe Sabathia goes to Milwaukee scenario in 2008 when the Brewers just abused his innings count because it was like, hey, what do we care? He's not going to be here next year. The Cowboys are abusing DeMarco Murray at an almost unprecedented rate for NFL running backs. He is going to have an unbelievable amount of city miles on that carcass after this year. And the Cowboys don't care, which tells me they may be inhumane enough to run him out there Sunday anyways. But even if they do, I don't think he's going to have much effectiveness. They need DeMarco Murray to win a game like this. They won't have him. Give me Indianapolis with the 2.5, which they won't need.
God, are the Colts going to learn that? Because I can't. Here's the thing. I'm passing. And I don't necessarily disagree with you taking the Colts here at all, but here's the thing. I don't think they'd blow Dallas out, would they? And that means Indianapolis will win another close game? God, do they just win? They do nothing but win close games. I'm passing. This is a really hard one. Murray or no Murray? The one thing, too, that I'd like to add, kind of a letdown for Dallas after what was a very impressive win last Sunday night in Philadelphia.
I agree.
It's a division sandwich game, too, because they close at Washington next week, I do believe. So, not a great spot for Dallas, but you know me. I've kind of been wrong on the Colts for 3 years, so, I don't really want to be wrong on them again.
All right. Well, we go to the Sunday night game here. Now, I talked about the teams with the great records in the last game here. This one, it's the demagoguery of technicalities because technically the Arizona Cardinals, who are hosting this game, technically they're 11-3. I think we all agree that has no basis in reality, but it's technically true. They are hosting.
Oh, you're coming along to my side, I see.
Hosting the 10-4 Seahawks. Well, right now, I'm chapped because I'm the kind of guy where I get upset. I mean, unless there's an axe that I have to grind, like say, for example, if it's the Steelers or the Ravens getting screwed, then I'm happy. But otherwise, I want the best teams in the playoffs. And the Cardinals are going to have some better teams sitting at home because they're going to be in. They may say, hey, payback for a year ago when we were 10-6 and one or two worse teams squeaked in, like, say, Kansas City. Touche. But now they're doing it to somebody this year, and that makes them to me a very unsympathetic figure. 8:30 Eastern time, Sunday night is when this one's going to be played at University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, where the Super Bowl will be held. This game will be on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, and Safoya on the call. And Seattle's laying 9.5 in this one, up from 7.5 initially. And you remember a couple weeks ago, it wasn't a blowout when they played, but Seattle covered pretty comfortably against Arizona. Granted, they were able to deploy the 12th man in that circumstance, and the home field is going to be a little bit different here. But you're also looking at Ryan Windley that's going to be in there at quarterback, or potentially worse, against defense that over the last four games played better than they did in any four-game stretch a year ago. This goes to what I talked about earlier on. Some of these games, Vegas just skyrocketed the number, hoping, Kyle, that people would be like, hey, there's some real value on the losing side. There can't possibly be enough value for Arizona in this game because Vegas would never set the line as high as the final outcome may be. Give me the Seahawks to curb stomp them with the 9.5.
Yeah, you know, the old Rick Morris curb stomp play of the week, huh? That,
those overconfident words never work well for me.
you know my views on these teams. This line is indicative of where they're at. I don't care about the records. Look at the point differentials, folks. Seattle's is twice as good. I'm not surprised about the line. You talk about the defense, Rick Morris. Over the last four games, are you aware of how many points Seattle's given up? 27.
Not many.
It's 27
okay.
In four games.
Wow.
That's not even a touchdown per game. They have played Ryan Lindley before. Ryan Lindley does have a career start against Seattle. Do you know what the final score of that game was?
What was it?
58-0.
Oh, it was that game. Okay.
Yes, Ryan, yes, that was one number. That was when I came out, I think, the next week. It was either after that game or the Buffalo game when Seattle, like, outscored – like two teams that are like 100-something to nothing. And I was like, this
yes.
team is a team to watch in the future. That was 2 years ago, folks.
Yes.
It's not going to be 58-0. Arizona is one of the teams, who knows. I think Bruce Arians has run out of tricks under that magic hat of his. But I'm laying off. I can't lay that many points on the road for what looks like sure doom, for even though it does look like sure doom for Arizona. The Seahawks, I would throw them in a teaser. You know, it's 9.5. It's still, you can get lower at some books still. At least you could have as of this morning. I would throw the Seahawks in a teaser, get them at least under 3, closer to 1, depending, or closer to pick them, depending on your book, with a game we've yet to talk about.
Yeah.
Well,
with
a game
that
we've
is,
yet to talk about.
Yeah. That's a shame it's a Sunday night game because it doesn't look like it's going to be a very appetizing one. We move along to what will be my big three plays for a weekend. Of course, my big three cruising along at 25-19-1 for the year. We start with, as mentioned before, the 9-5 Eagles at the 3-11 Redskins. This is Saturday on the NFL Network, 4:30 from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon, and the delectable Stacey Dales on the call for this one, where the Eagles are laying 7.5 down from 8.5, curiously, earlier in the week, a number coming down. Again, just going through here, a nugget that I pulled out of USA Today Sports Weekly, which I will credit them for. Philadelphia second in the league with 47 sacks. Washington has allowed 53 sacks, more than any other team than Jacksonville. To me, that's a very bad combination. When you think Philadelphia at this point, you still do not think killer defense. But you know what? Against the likes of RG3, I think it will be. This one's going to be ugly. I like Philadelphia laying the 7.5. Road favorite Ricky strikes again.
Yikes. Look, you always like to go with the recommended big three. 5 has been a kind number to me. I've been pretty much using 5 plays, it seems, every week now for as long as I can remember back. I've got 4 recommendations so far this week. And, Rick Morris, I am going to respectfully disagree with you here. I think Philadelphia is off a very emotional loss. It's draining. I do not see them winning by any kind of margin here. Washington got hosed by the incompetent Jeff Triplett last week, one of the worst officials in any sport. I think they keep this one close at home, despite all the discord going on in that organization. 5th recommendation of the week, Redskins in the points.
Well, you did take Chicago, who's another team that's mailed it in, so at least you're being consistent in that. By the way, they also got hosed by Odell Beckham, who was the hero of my fantasy squad last week, who I won't say single-handedly helped me.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Too bad Buffalo traded a draft pick to get Sammy Watkins instead. Could have just had Odell Beckham.
Oops. Yeah, oops. That's a questionable matter right there. The second one of the week here, we've got the 6-8 Vikings at the 7-7 Dolphins. 1:00 Eastern time from Sun Life Stadium in Miami on Fox. 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert along with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa. On the call, this is one where Minnesota is getting 7.5 from Miami. It had been 7 initially. And I talked a week ago about some games where I just barely survived thanks to the hook. There were 3 games that I made it by in terms of a half point. This is almost kind of a borderline why ask why for me, because clearly it seems like in the betting community, Miami's getting a lot more respect these days than Minnesota, and I don't get that. The gap between these two teams is not wide at all. You might have the sense that Ryan Tannehill will be Teddy Bridgewater itself at this point is a mismatch, but I would beg to disagree as a Dolphins fan. I don't get that. I think it's a little bit of an anomaly. I'll take Minnesota getting the 7.5, and again, I would rule out that they could win this game outright. There is no gap really between these teams that I see. I don't see a gap. Minnesota's been coming on. Blake Zimmer is the rookie coach of the year.
I had Minnesota last week. They're getting a bigger number against a better team, Detroit. Detroit's a better team than Miami, but only slightly so. So I think this line does make sense. That being said, you had me until the very end there when you said you picked Minnesota to win strip. That's the one thing I'm ready to guarantee here. I talked about the Seattle game. I would throw them in a teaser with another team that we haven't talked about yet. That team is Miami. Miami is going to win this game straight up. That's all I can tell you. Miami, they're not going to make the playoffs, even if they win out at 9. Well, I guess they mathematically could, but they'll need some help with tiebreakers. They're already 7 losses. I see them winning out, which, of course, would be the reverse of what they did last year when they lost their last 2 games and missed the playoffs. They may win the final 2, still miss them, and Joe Philbin could be fired. I think Miami wins this game, though, and stays alive. I agree with you about the point spread. Yeah, I agree with you about the point spread. Minnesota, they've covered a lot, but aren't they due to maybe kind of have one stinker? I mean, they really do have nothing to play for at this point. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they airmailed this.
That's why, again, Mike Zimmer's had them playing hard. They've been improving.
Yeah.
That team's getting better, and they're showing some good things for the future here. That will be very interesting to see. We move now to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 16, my locks thus far this year, a sterling 6-9.
The most Rick Morris play ever.
Exactly. Road favorite Ricky. This is the 11-3 Broncos at the 9-4-1 Bengals, 8:30 Eastern Time, Paul Brown Stadium. Cincinnati Monday Night Football on ESPN, Tirico Gruden and Salters. This is one where Denver's laying 3.5. I'm almost tempted to call this a why ask why in terms of the line, and then I go back to, I think I can explain why the line is the way that it is, and it makes me lose any apprehension that I have about betting on Denver, and that is because in the last couple of weeks, their offense has looked a little bit more sluggish than what we're used to seeing from them. And people are going, they didn't look so good last week. They might have won the game here, but they didn't look so good. So they're just due for a better performance, I think, than what we've been seeing out of them recently, even in their recent victories. For Cincinnati, we've been saying this about Arizona. They're sort of Arizona light, nowhere near as good as their record, 9-4-1. They won't make the playoffs. They're slipping on the banana peel right in the middle of the ring. I've called it here previously. They will lose this game. And I will take Denver, laying the 3.5 as my 1,000-star gold play to the lock of the millennium for NFL Week 16.
I will not lay the 3.5, although I don't hate that pick. You know me. This is a game that I've targeted a little bit. I pointed out, I think I've referenced it previously on the show, as where I think Cincinnati's season kind of goes up in smoke. So I guess I probably should recommend Denver. I think just on sheer principle, because it looks too easy, I'm not going to. But
okay.
I probably should. You know what? Screw it. Let's make a sixth recommendation this week. I'll go with your lock of the millennium of the week. Lay the points to the Broncos. Cincinnati is absolutely losing. I don't know. You'd think they'd miss the playoffs if they lost out, but who knows, because they got that tie in there that makes it funky. But I see Cincinnati losing out. You're right. And give me Denver.
All right, road favorite Kyle. So in 2 of my big 3 this week, you are on teams in that we agree on my lock pick of Denver over Cincinnati. We disagree where I have Philadelphia and you have Washington. My third game of the big 3 is where you are agnostic on the play, and that is Minnesota for me. The other of your big plays beyond that, your recommendations, Tampa Bay, Chicago, New York Jets and Kansas City, as a little guy we used to know and do stuff with, would say a real rogues gallery there, no question about it. So,
hey, you say it every week, and the rogues gallery keeps bringing it home. They'll do it again. They'll do it again. Just don't get embarrassed, rogues gallery. Just don't get embarrassed.
Well, a lot of rogues, as I've been saying, and that 43 wins out of your 43-29 for the season. So we will check back. We will be convening perhaps in a different form next week with the holidays. We will probably be doing another condensed, abbreviated version of the show due to the holidays. The week after, the wild card round starts, and we will be back with you in either condensed or uncondensed form. Looking at uncondensed for right now, but we will see how that goes. But again, thanks, Kyle. Another great week, my man. And thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to mini episode number 503 of the FBH Lounge.